Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, hour number two. TK and Tierney coming to you live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday, April 23rd around the country. 3 hours every day, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, if you want to get on him for his Giannis not being able to run up and down the court take from earlier, at Brandon Tierney. Obviously, we're going to be out at the draft, so heavy draft is a theme this week, which is going to be terrific. Teague's flying tomorrow night with Santa. I'm heading in Thursday. We'll be out there Thursday and Friday, both shows. Also, this will interest our New York, local audience here in New York, but you and I will do a little something on WFAN from 6:20 to 8:30, a couple of hours there. Just focus on the Jets, the Giants, so we've got that coming up locally as well, Thursday night, live from Nashville. Jason Lockenfora, next segment, CBS Sports NFL Insider on all the latest industry rumblings. We'll get to Odell Beckham Jr., who was tweeting up a storm last night against his old team. We'll get to that coming up at 5 Eastern, so I think it's time to do a little inbounds, out of bounds.
Yes,
you ready?
Because there's some interesting topics to get to, particularly your Jets.
Let's go. Here it is.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay. Tiki mentioned my Jets. Open up the wallets this offseason. That they did. They signed a couple of players. Two-time first-team All-Pro running back Le'Veon Bell among the big names brought in. Now, some noted that Bell was not present at the team's new uniform unveiling a couple of days ago, a week and a half, whatever it was. And new reports say that Bell, so far, no go, no show at voluntary team workouts. Now, various players around the league, Jalen Ramsey didn't show up. He commented on this, obviously, recently. Odell Beckham Jr., yeah, this is relatively common. I want to be fair to players who do not, but do things a little different here because this is different circumstances considering he has not played in over a year. It's a new team, etc. In or out, Le'Veon Bell skipping voluntary minicamp is in or out?
Yeah, I think this is out of bounds, BT. Look, Jalen Ramsey's been down in Jacksonville for a couple of years now. There's an issue, probably contract-related, that's why he's not there. Even though he didn't say, he said they know what it's about.
I think something with his daughter, too. I don't want to speak out of school.
But it's probably a couple of different things. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr. worked out a little bit with Baker Mayfield. We saw this offseason after the trade went down. But he's going to do most of his working out in California. But Le'Veon skipping is out to me because he hadn't played in a year. If there's one guy in all of the NFL who needs to get back into football, I'm not talking about get back into shape, and I'm sure he's in decent or good or whatever shape. It's just got to be around the game. Yep. You got to talk ball. And to not be around it, especially with a new coaching staff and a new situation, just doesn't make a ton of sense to me.
Maybe he could rap about the workouts. He's absolutely out of bounds here. He should be at the workout. It's a joke.
You know, even if he just shows up and does nothing. I'm serious.
Yeah. I mean, but if you show up, you may as well do something here. I mean, the Jets
but it's not much. You know what I mean? It's
just, then even more reason to do it. I mean, this is ridiculous here. You got a lot of money, and you've earned it because you're a great player. We all know what happened last offseason. You know, did he get it all back? Was it the right move? Probably not. Probably left a few bucks on the table and when it's all said and done. But you have a new franchise here, more importantly, a new culture, or you're trying to establish one, a new coach in Adam Gase, a quarterback in Sam Darnold who's going to be really good, second-year kid who could really use Le'Veon Bell just being there. It's a morale boost. I know he's a running back, and it's kind of a plug-and-play thing. You go here, it's pretty basic stuff, and the verbiage isn't that different around the league, but it's a bad look. I'm not going to crush him. But I don't like this. I really don't. And I'm very surprised, and it's disappointing. And just a bad look for somebody who's got to be not only a great player, he's got to be a leader on this Jets team.
I think you're right.
That's what leaders do. You show up.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, how about this? To the NBA, the Suns, they finished with the second worst record in the NBA despite the promise of number one overall pick DeAndre Ayton. Budding star Devin Booker, who went bonkers many nights, scoring 50, and I think he scored 60 one game as well, right? Last night, the team announced they were firing head coach Igor Kolskakov, whatever his name is. I was messing up, that guy.
Now we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. after just one season at the helm and are reportedly targeting 76ers assistant Monty Williams. However, the Lakers are also eyeing Williams as well and are planning a second interview with the former Pelicans head coach. In or out? Monty Williams should take the Suns' job over the Lakers' job.
I'm going to say out of bounds on that, BT, mainly because the Suns have been in such dysfunction over the last few years that it just feels like there's no direction, there's no plan. And Robert Sarver, who is their owner, is spent, what, $500,000 or $500 million, I should say, to buy the team, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And as a head coach with a sub-500 record, and Monty Williams, since he was down in New Orleans, obviously not totally his fault. They didn't have a ton of talent down there in New Orleans.
Nope.
Monty Williams has got to, like, he's got to get it right in his next head coaching job. That place, to me, is Philly, if they should move on from Brett Brown. If he should go to Phoenix, and if the situation is just wrong because of the owner and the ownership methods, it could, he'd never be a head coach again. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
Okay, I hear you. I totally disagree in terms of the inbounds, out of bounds. My answer is inbounds. I would take the Suns' job over the Lakers if I'm Monty Williams. And I also disagree. While I understand why you would say it, like Byron Scott went through this, you do get a point of expiration where when you know, this is it. But I don't think that applies to Monty Williams. I think Monty Williams has a lot of respect around the NBA. I believe that people really view him as an asset. I know I do. And, you know, listen, I look at the Phoenix Suns roster. Yeah, I know, they've been a mess, but maybe it's because they haven't been well coached. The infrastructure is sloppy as well, and that's where I do hear you. You raise a good point. It would give me something to think twice about. But look at the books. I mean, a lot of players are, you know, Tyson Chandler's 11.5 off the books. Darrell Arthur, 7.5 off the books. Ellington, 6.2 off the books. Bender, 4.6 off the books. They've got a sniper. They've got a big man with great dexterity. They've got a couple of wing players who, you know, Mikal Bridges. I think the Suns could be, they've got a top three pick in all probably, maybe the first overall pick. I hope they don't, because that means the Knicks don't. But yeah, they got a chance for Zion Williamson.
You see Matt Barnes' tweet.
What's he saying? Coaching isn't the problem with the Suns. The owner is. Sarver's the worst owner in the NBA. Do that great city of Phoenix a solid and sell the team. They deserve a winner. You're wasting Devin Booker's career. Okay. I mean, fair. But I also think coaching is part of it.
Oh, no doubt
about
it.
I think he kind of glosses over that aspect.
I agree.
And the other thing is,
it's a combination. It's everything.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other thing is, maybe Monty feels totally different. I wouldn't want to hitch my wagon to an aging, eroding LeBron James at this point.
That's a good point.
I just wouldn't want to.
I wouldn't either. Unless you're adept enough to see through the next couple of years. Whether you have success with LeBron or not, you can see through it and have a plan for year 3, 4, 5 going forward.
Yeah. I mean, but how many people get 3, 4, 5 years in one spot if you don't win right away?
Especially not in L.A.
And especially with LeBron.
Yeah,
when it's a finite window here. The other thing I think, too, is, you know, and by the way, to be fair, this would apply to the Lakers. His relationship with New Orleans, and by extension, his relationship on some level with Anthony Davis, you know, I mean, I don't know, would Booker and a future first-round pick be the, you know, Griffin, would that entice them, maybe trade him to Phoenix?
Yeah.
I mean, could you maybe get him in L.A.? Because they're not going to trade him to L.A. They're not going to trade him to L.A. So if I'm coaching the Suns, and he might be, can I get Anthony Davis to facilitate the rebuild? Maybe. We'll see.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teak, yesterday, the Mets beat last night the Phillies 5-1. Bryce Harper was bounced for the first time since joining the Phillies. He was all over umpire Mark Carlson, and rightfully so. I was watching some of this game. Carlson's strike zone was erratic and deplorably bad. It was wildly inconsistent, and it was just bad. Gabe Kapler and Harper both rushed out to argue. Harper had to be restrained after the game. Where it gets interesting here, teammate Jake Arrieta was not enthralled with Harper's behavior.
He's got to understand, look, we need him in right field. I don't care how bad the umpire is. He wasn't great for either side. I'm out there trying to make pitches. He misses some calls. So what? Like, we need him out there.
Okay. Very interesting. Very direct there from Arrieta. So, in or out, it is irresponsible for a star player to get bounced from important games.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. This is an interesting one because this happened in the fourth inning. He got called out on strikes. He went back to he didn't get ejected then.
No.
He goes back to the dugout, and then the next at bat.
Not his next at bat.
Exactly.
The next batter's at bat on a bad pitch.
He's screaming from the dugout and gets ejected. It's just bizarre. But I think this is out of bounds. I understand what Jake Arrieta's point is, and he's right. They need their $300 million man to be out there. They were flat last night. The rain delay up in New York had a big deal to do with that. So they need him there. But it's also one of 162 games. I mean, he's got thrown out about a dozen times in his career, but he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and I think that's a good thing for this Phillies team. So it's one game, so I'm going to say out of bounds.
I'm kind of conflicted here because the wording of the question, I would challenge. It is irresponsible for star players to get ejected from important games. As a premise, I would say, yes, I agree with that. But was last night, to your point, really an important game? Tax day was a couple of days. It was just Easter, Passover. Yeah. Come on. It's April. I know it's the Mets. I know it's divisional, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they're now tied atop the division, by the way.
Both have 12 wins. Both have 10 losses. Alonso's been a godsend for the Mets. McNeil's hitting, really hitting well. You got to get Noah Syndergaard right. They got good news with Jacob deGrom. This division's very, with his MRI, which came back clean. This division is outside of the Marlins. This division, and this is not new to the show. You and I talked about this leading into the season. The Braves have a ton of talent with Acuna, Freeman, all those guys. We know about them. The Nationals are obviously competitive. But I'm going to say inbounds. It is irresponsible. And I will, just to be fair and play along, I'll pretend last night was a big game.
Yeah.
But yeah, the overall premise, big games. You got to keep yourself on the diamond or on the court. Inbounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You feeling accurate here? You want to go 2 for 2 yesterday? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Ah, love that music. Hey, this Thursday and Friday, we're taking our show on the road. We're in Nashville, Tennessee at the Draft, presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a comfort flex waistband and denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series, try on a pair today. Yeah, so we're pretty pumped about that. We'll be out there Thursday and Friday, broadcasting live from the middle of the mayhem, the draft. We'll be out there, as will our next guy. I believe he's going to be out there. Jason Lock, he's all over it if he's not. Jason Lock and Forer, who will be with us in studio tomorrow night for Tops. Of course, Jason, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
What's going on, buddy? We've got a three-hour Top show tomorrow night, which is always fun, and then I will be at our CBS HQ studios in Stamford, Connecticut for the rest of the draft. So you can also follow the draft on CBS HQ on your streaming device, mobile device or your laptop or your, what's the word I'm looking for?
Anywhere
tablet.
You stream.
Tablet.
iPad.
I love it. There you
exactly.
go.
Tablet.
Yeah, it was smooth.
Everybody
smooth
says
it.
Everybody says iPad. Look, Jace, this draft is all about the defensive players, I think, in large part. But it's always about the quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, we think, is going number one. Dwayne Haskins, will fall in there somewhere in the top 10. Maybe if not, he'll fall down to Washington at 15. And Drew Locke and Daniel Jones are all the ones that are there. But which one of those, and I think it's Kyler Murray, could play right away? Because I think some teams like to make that decision these days instead of letting them learn and grow and develop and fix some of the mistakes and flaws that they have from college. Which one of these guys is going to play right away?
Well, I mean, it's got to be Kyler Murray, right? I mean, if you got the coach to run a system and then you take the first pick to get the quarterback who you think fits the system better than most people on the planet, then I don't know how the heck you're not playing him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's... And you're kicking last year's 10th overall pick to the curb to do so. Like, yeah, he better be ready to play week one. Like, that would kind of sort of be the whole idea.
Yeah, that's the point. Are we buying that they might keep both?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, for some period of time, I guess. But, like, I cannot see them both on that roster week one. You know, I have a hard time. I have a hard time buying that. No, I don't see that happening.
I don't think it's either or. I don't think they're going to be on the same roster 1 minute after the draft occurs when that first pick happens. So, I mean, maybe I'm wrong with that, but I know the Giants were kicking the tires. The Pats were kicking the tires. There were a couple of offers. You know, what's the story?
Friday. You know, I don't think they're getting a one for him anyway at this point. I really never have, and especially at this point. So I could see them taking the best deal they can get to get a, you know what I mean, to get a pick on Friday evening for him, and then, you know,
any sense of who's in the lead right now, do you think?
I'm intrigued. The two teams I'm most intrigued by are the Chargers and the Bengals.
Chargers, huh? Interesting.
The Chargers have done a lot of work on quarterbacks the last few years, day two quarterbacks. And, I mean, the kid played right under their noses there in college. You know, I think he's a little older. Maybe some people would say too mature for his own good, but certainly more mature than some of the kids who you would be spending a pick on, especially day two this year. You know, you're talking usually about guys who are a little bit more raw and more developmental. You know, I think having him around Phillip Rivers would make some sense. You know, a second-round pick, I mean, I don't know. It would make some sense to me. And then Cincinnati, they're clearly renting Andy Dalton at this point, right? And you got Zach Taylor, a quarterback guru, who came from McVay. What did McVay do? He rebuilt Jared Goff, right, and turned him around. I mean, Jared Goff, after year one, not that different from Rosen when you talk about where he was confidence-wise. You know, he looked like a shattered kid at the end of that rookie season. You know, I think Cincinnati, Mike Brown, he knows a bargain when he sees one. You could get Josh Rosen. When you take the signing bonus and all the upfront money out of it, Josh Rosen will be cheaper than his second round. Then you know what I mean? Whoever uses that second round pick on.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. That one just makes a lot of sense to me.
And it, you didn't mention the Giants. Giants not in this.
Well, I think the Giants are taking a quarterback.
You think they're taking Haskins at 6 or at 17?
I don't think Haskins is going to necessarily be there at 6. If you made me pick right now, I'd have them taking Jones at 7.
Huh. That's what Teague's been saying for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Haskins not being there means that the Raiders take him?
Or Washington moves to 3 to get him.
Hey, Jets, we're open for business, especially when it's the Redskins. We could fleece them. Talking to Jason Lockenfora. Jay, one of the big rumblings before the draft is, listen, you know, Dee Ford is gone. The Chiefs had to find a replacement. They got a good one in Frank Clark, who's in the middle of his prime defensive end. Let me just give the details of the trade for those who missed it, and then I want to get your thoughts as to who you think actually won in terms of what was exchanged. So Kansas City gets defensive end Frank Clark and Seattle's 2019 third-round pick. Seattle gets the Chiefs' first rounder, which was, I think, was it 28 or 29?
29.
The Chiefs' 2019 third-round pick and their 2020 second-round pick. So a lot of equity being swapped. Who won the trade?
I don't know who won it. I'm still a little bit sort of puzzled as to exactly what the Chiefs, you know what I mean? They're kind of doing things in a roundabout way, and I'm not necessarily sure I'm following everything that they're doing. Frank Clark is an upgrade over Dee Ford for sure, but it's kind of a circuitous path, and they gave up an awful lot and spent an awful lot to get there. For what they gave, I mean, if they're in win-now mode, I don't know why you don't just squat on Dee Ford for another year. You know what I mean? Pay him that money for 1 year. Look, Frank Clark is definitely a better player.
Yeah.
But
well, maybe that's why. Maybe that's the answer.
I guess, but, I mean, they walked from Justin Houston, who I get is at the end, but I don't know if Frank Clark and whatever they come out of this draft with is going to be better than Dee Ford and Justin Houston.
Yeah, not for one and two.
Nobody could answer that question.
Yeah, not for one and two.
But when I just start looking at how bad that defense was last year, and like the starting 11 they'd have to run out there right now, and I get it. It's 6 months, 5 months before they play a game that matters. So a lot could change. But I think Pat Mahomes is going to have to throw 50 touchdowns again. That may be literally where the bar is.
And by the way, pardon me, Teague, he might have to do it certainly without Kareem Hunt, who's gone. He might have to do it as well without Tyreek Hill, who might not, you know. So you might want to upgrade the offense in whatever draft equity remains for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, because they lost a couple of pretty good pieces.
Wow, and they're a team that has – they used to say, oh, it was John Dorsey with the character risks and all that. I mean, Frank Clark had domestic violence charges and domestic violence arrest in college. You know what I mean? They had Jovan Belcher, you know what I mean, in that horrible situation they get rid of Kareem Hunt in the middle of a season. The Tyreek Hill thing is still very much being sorted out. And then they make this, like, in real time, make this blockbuster trade for another guy, you know, who has some ugly stuff in his background. I mean, they clearly are willing to look beyond a lot there in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, it seems that way. Jason, there's a lot of defensive players in this draft, defensive rush players in this draft. Nick Bosa, I think, is consensus the best one, even though, I mean, he didn't play a lot, obviously, last year, and really just one season, even though that one season was phenomenal, just like his brother. Who do you think is the second pass rushing guy, end or edge rusher off the board?
I think Josh Allen, you know, will be gone pretty high, depending on whether a trade is made up there, you know, and if quarterbacks start going in more rapid succession than most would have expected a few months ago, then that obviously pushes a few people down a slot or two. But I don't think it'll be a very long wait for him to have his name called at all. And who knows? You know what I mean? Who knows how this thing plays out? You know, Bosa's brothers had a lot of bad luck with injuries, and, mm-hmm. and you know, we'll see. Yeah, obviously, availability is the first step to productivity. But yeah, I'm with you guys. I think sometimes the consensus is just reality, which is Bosa, you know, seems set to go second overall. And I think Allen's coming off somewhere in the next 3-4 picks.
Yeah, we made a big deal a couple days ago, maybe it was a week ago, about John Gruden. You know, getting rid of all of his scouts. He wants himself and Mike Mayock to keep their focus. We shouldn't make too much of that because we've heard that that's typical. It happens. The scouts just kind of leave before the draft goes. But are we concerned with some of the direction of this Oakland Raiders draft, I guess, lead up?
I'm not. I mean, we're going to have to see how it plays out, and these things are always judged 3 to 5 years after the fact. But I mean, they're in transition. They're still – the bulk of that staff was brought in by Reggie McKenzie, who's mm-hmm. been gone for quite some time now. But as you guys know, in the football calendar, like Mike Mayock comes in January, you know, you're not just going to gut everything in February. Guys are still under contract. Most of these contracts expire in the spring, so you can't put a whole new staff together. You've got to rely on the scouting reports and the eyes that were already in these stadiums, you know, scouting all these college games through the season. And then the big turnover comes. The coaching ranks is January, but the management ranks, the football operation ranks, that all happens in May after the draft. So this was always going to be sort of a kind of an awkward half-step situation for them. And that, plus the fact that Mayock and Gruden are both crazy paranoid to begin with, and the fact that it's Easter Passover weekend and all that, like, I'm not surprised by it, and I don't. It's more overt than what happens in other buildings, but there's a lot of buildings where there's only 3, 4, 5 sets of eyes who are really looking at the big board anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not everybody has access to that room. Everybody does their work. They you know, they give their rankings. They come and do their spiel at their position groups or, you know, the schools that they looked at, and then that information gets put into a blender, and, you know, somebody else is making that smoothie, not them.
Mm-hmm. Jay, give us about 30 seconds on this. Final thing, Jason Lockenfor, CBS Sports NFL Insider. There's a couple teams that jump out to me, one of whom is mine, that, you know, I think McCagnan's got to have a really good draft, otherwise he could be in real trouble. Which GM faces the most pressure entering the draft, and why?
Which GM with the most pressure entering the draft?
Gettleman's been, you know,
yeah,
been throwing some
I
heat.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gettleman has probably put himself in a situation now where, and especially as he continues to kind of thump his chest through all this, like, the proof really is going to have to be in that pudding. I mean, you trade away generational talent like they did, and you keep putting your eggs in Eli's basket. You know, I'll go back to another food analogy. You're baking a cake that better taste pretty good. You know, it better not be burnt by week 6. Or I think that ownership's going to have to make changes there in much more rapid succession than the storied New York football Giants tend to like their make their moves.
Jay, great stuff, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow night. Looking forward to doing tops with you, buddy.
Likewise, man. Talk to you guys soon. Thank you.
Be good,
okay.
Jason
Lockenfor. Of course, draft night out in Connecticut, the HQ, CBS Sports HQ headquarters. He'll be doing his draft stuff there tomorrow night on Tops with us here on CBS Sports Network from 9 to midnight. Going to be pretty awesome. All right, coming up after Axe update here. OBJ fires back at the Giants. Immature or on point? We'll hit that after Rich right now.
TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Football at the 40s coming up in a sec. Got some good stuff. Most of it pertaining to the draft. First up, though, time now for the game plan for success, sponsored by Napa, as we take a look at a team and their plan for success. And how about we do this? The Pistons last night trying to save their season at home, obviously. Last night, game four against the Bucks, but things got a little wacky in the second half. The Pistons tried to gas up the pace here and play quick. They got up 100 shots, but the Bucks knew that that really isn't the way they play and how they flourish. So they hit only 41 of those shots, and even 41%. The Bucks outscored them 71-42 in the second half, and they complete the four-game broom job. Napa Auto Parts, the expertise in parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That is Napa know-how. All righty, Tuesday here on the show. Getting ready for like a couple days before Christmas. All the fans, all the teams, all the possibilities. By the way, why is our TV so crooked here? Bumped into that. Was that me? Was that Santa? Was that Margaret? I don't know. We had a lot of things going on here.
What in
the
doubt,
break.
Blame Santa.
Including me woofing down two slices of pizza. Nice. I had. Remember I was talking about my shake yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
I got back to the routine. A little kale, a little carrot shake this morning. Got wrapped up in some stuff. That's all I had. It's 4:40. I mean, I'm 220 pounds. It's 4:41 in the afternoon.
You're starving. Yourself.
I had a shake and a bottle of water and a cup of coffee.
You're starving.
Got to get some food. I'm glad, like a slob.
That's why I pack a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day.
I usually mix in a good snack. I hear you. Just got a little sidetracked today. But this is when possibilities are endless, all sorts of scenarios, and most of the things that you read are patently wrong and will not come to fruition. Doesn't mean it's not fun. You ready for football at the 40s?
Yep, let's go.
Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football, so we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, we start with the most important position, the juiciest position in the NFL, quarterback. Now, the Cards willing to have both Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray on the roster, which is the complete antithesis of what we just touched on with Jason LaCampora.
Yeah, that's not happening.
We'll see. The gentleman who gave this report is respected. We like him. We know him a little bit. We like the show. You've been on it. Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. Good crew. They have a lot of fun. They're good. Peter Schrager said, what did Schrager say? Quote, trust me, they're not just going to dump him for 80 cents on the dollar. They've given up too much to just ship him off for nothing. There's absolutely a chance the Cardinals finish draft weekend with both Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen in their quarterback room. So Schrage's taking a pretty definitive stance. Wouldn't stun me. Doesn't mean they can't trade him a couple of days after that. But what do you react to his take?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's just, I don't know. It's like he's getting information from the Cardinals, and they're trying to make it okay for Josh Rosen. He's their guy. He was their first-round draft pick last year. Obviously, the expectations were big for him, even though the team was bad and he played pretty horribly. You still got to make your guy, who was your first-round pick, feel good in case something doesn't work out. But they have the first overall pick. You don't have to say this. They have complete control, of 100% control over anything that happens here. They're just looking for a deal. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, BT. They need to find the right deal for Josh Rosen. It just hasn't come yet. And the closer we get to the draft, which is right around the corner now, they're just going to have to get rid of him at some point for kind of nothing, which
TikTok
sucks for them.
TikTok. Okay. Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't exactly hold back in a social media rant against Tiki's Giants. I mean, there's a lot to read here. Where do you even start? Let's begin with this here. So Dave Gettleman, their GM, said recently, this was in a NewJersey.com column, that the Giants had a culture problem, and he thought that that has since changed. And when he was asked directly about whether or not they have a culture issue, he said, not anymore. Most people surmised that that was an indirect shot at Odell Beckham Jr. To be fair, if Gettleman doesn't want to, perpetuate this, keep kicking this, he's got to be smart enough, or he's got to be savvy enough to know how we will respond to that kind of a statement based on the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. just got traded.
Yeah, true. But Dave Gettleman is Dave Gettleman. He's from Pennsylvania. He's got this Northeast cynicism about him. He says things. He feels things. He's going to speak them. And look, Was he specifically referring to Odell Beckham Jr.? I would assume so, but maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Maybe he was talking about Landon Collins or Eli Apple on the defensive side of the ball, which actually was probably more problematic than Odell, to be honest with you, the drama that they had over there. Or maybe it was Olivier Vernon because he didn't want to, he couldn't stay healthy. And after they paid him all that money and expected him to be a defensive leader, he just never really panned out. So we don't really know what he was specifically talking about. The problem was is that everyone assumed that Dave Gettleman is talking about Odell Beckham Jr. And so Twitter, as Twitter is wont to do, mm-hmm. goes off on this. And
he engaged. He did.
And that's the problem. G-Men, at G-Men Thoughts, this is the one that caught my eye. He said, let's talk then. Why don't you straighten up after getting the cash and don't sit here and say you did, consistently being questionable. Statements, interviews, extra, et cetera, in the locker room will go down as one of the Giants' great centers. Come on. They bet on you, and you made them look foolish. That was someone speaking to Odell a bit about how they signed that big deal before last season.
Yep.
And it changed for a little bit, but for the most part, it felt a lot of the same.
All right, and here's something that Odell wrote. Let's see. This was in response to somebody on social media as well who wrote, I still hate what Gettleman did as well. That was not only corny, but hella disrespectful to a legend who put all his, who put it all out there for us ever. A legend who's won nothing, by the way. So Odell Beckham Jr. wrote, I gave them everything I had, for our Sunday. I mean, I don't even, how do these people write? Why do you write like that? Athletes today?
Legend?
I don't even know what he's writing here.
Legend?
I can't even read this. What is this? I'm not even going to read this.
Legend?
Not even English. What is this nonsense?
Legend?
Oh, I don't think he's a legend. Yeah, okay. I think he's a great talent.
Just making sure.
I mean, that's the first thing I said. I don't, you know. Then he says, just put some respect on my name. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying nothing. And trust me, I got a lot. Now, lots is capitalized with 5 T's, so he really means business here. A lot of info that people don't know about, so keep my name out your mouth the way I do, y'all's. You dig.
Yeah. The biggest thing that he said, though,
actually, I like that. You dig. That's funny.
He said, yes, I'm a cancer to a place that's okay with losing.
Why does he care so
much? Because I want to win that bad.
Why does he care so much? We'll get back to this. We'll get back to this top of the hour, but why does he care so much? Come on, Odell. Okay, Doug Marrone says that he and Jalen Ramsey have talked. They've tried to clear the air a bit. Everything's good, despite Tom Coughlin sticking his nose into the situation a bit.
Tom thinks he's the coach, though.
He does, but he might not be the coach, but he is the boss.
Of course.
Yeah, so, you know, he can weigh in if he wants. Doesn't
the boss,
mean that
the boss
whatever.
Should know the rules that it's a voluntary workout and you don't have to be there.
Fair enough. But as long as Marrone's okay with Ramsey, I guess nothing else matters, really.
Look, I think the biggest issue is that they couldn't get in touch with Jalen Ramsey to ask him, hey, why aren't you here? Which is maybe the most egregious thing of all. He had his wrong cell phone number. I mean, come on.
Well, does he have 9 phones?
Maybe. Who knows?
And then he changed one?
Still.
I hear you. I mean, what if you really have like a health issue, like something for you, a health form that
who knows?
You have to get in touch with the Ramsey clan.
Or a drug test.
Or whatever it might be.
You know, otherwise you get suspended. I mean,
I bet
come
you
on.
If it was time for a contract re-up, they wouldn't have the wrong number. Then you make sure he got connected with him, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Here's what Doug Marrone said. We had a great talk, quote, he's training with his brother. He's in Nashville. Hey, maybe we'll see him. We're going down there. He's spending time with his family. He said he's going to come back in the best shape he's ever been in. He's all fired up. That was pretty much the conversation. It was a good conversation. I was concerned, obviously, because I was texting a number I thought was his, and he wasn't getting back to me. I couldn't figure out what was up, so we kind of had a little laugh about that. Now I have the right number. He's always had my number, so it's good. Hey, if the head coach says it's good, who am I to assume it's not good until it's not, you know? Moving on here. This is the one that baffles me, because I've tried to rack my brains what this could possibly mean, and I saw this on CBSSports.com this morning. The Raiders are reportedly ready to make a surprise pick at number 4, what would really constitute a surprise?
Like if they quarterback?
That wouldn't surprise me. To the point where it would be positioned as a real big surprise. There's been enough smoke about Derek Carr. I don't think that would, I don't think that would be a huge surprise. Trading down, they could do that. Trading up, they could do that.
But is that a surprise? Is not that isn't a surprise. I don't know what they're trying to do unless they're trying to make people interested in their pick. But look, this is it's when you look at the first 10 specifically, there are certain players that if you're outside of that, like a ranked as, you know, a second round talent or a third, you're not drafting them in the first round, in the first 10. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a limited number of options, to be perfectly honest
fair,
with you.
Fair.
You know, maybe there's different names, but same positions. Right? But there's a lot of these guys are, they feel interchangeable. We don't know how they're going to pan out. I'm talking about these edge rushers and defensive ends,
yep,
stand-up linebackers, et cetera. We don't know, right? You can like one more than the other because of this minute little detail, that minute little detail. There's only so many guys that can go at this point.
No, to your point, the grade, even though talent evaluation is obviously subjective, for the most part, every database, every respected NFL scout or personnel person or whatever, columnist, contributor, insider, there are probably, I'd say, about 15 names or so that generally fluctuate within the top 10.
If you're going to draft DK Metcalf.
That's what I was thinking, actually.
That might be
surprising.
But he's rated, that's a risk.
You get Metcalf, you get Antonio Brown.
It's a risk.
DK
Metcalf does not run great routes. He's not a great route runner. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, he's too big, right? He can't shift effectively. He's a great deep ball runner.
Yep.
And obviously a physical line of scrimmage or short pass, a receiver. But, he's not a fourth overall pick.
Until he is, if he is. Here's a little more. Ian Rappaport had this. So, quote, Raiders are looking at, this was on TV, it's transcribed, they're looking at some sort of surprise pick at number 4 that would necessitate absolute secrecy. This is what I understand it to be, a pick at number 4 that we are not expecting. So what that actually is, I don't know. So a look into the process without a specific name. Interesting. I mean, Rappaport's obviously very good, very respected. We'll see if it comes to fruition. All right. How about Dwayne Haskins? Feels a connection. You ready? Forget about his hometown Giants, mm-hmm, who he's raving about. And he raved about to us out at Minneapolis was 2 years. Where the heck were we for the Super Bowl? Where were we just for the Super Bowl? Why am I forgetting? Look, everybody's forgetting on the show.
Atlanta.
We are absolutely out of our minds. Santa, and I hear you. He's staring into space. D-Cell's staring. Atlanta.
Yeah.
Jeez. How did we not know where the hell we were 2 months ago?
That's funny.
We were in Atlanta for the draft. We were just in Minneapolis for the Final Four, to be fair to ourselves.
Not
and
registered.
The Super Bowl the year
it
before.
It really wasn't registered.
Me neither. I could have stared blankly for 30 seconds. Dwayne Haskins is not staring blankly. He thinks the Redskins could make a little sense.
There's definitely something there. I feel like there's a great relationship with the Redskins. My mentor, Sean Spriggs, played for the Redskins. You know, great relationship with Mr. Snyder and the rest of the Redskins ownership. And, you know, whatever team picks me, I'll be excited to be a part of. But there's definitely something there in D.C. as well.
Do you have a gut feeling they're picking 15, that they're going to come get you, that they're going to make a move and go get Dwayne Haskins?
I don't know. I told him to, but we'll see what happens.
Okay. I believe he was high school teammates with Dan Snyder's son.
Yeah, so he's known the Snyder family for a long time. He's born in New Jersey. Was kind of a Giants fan, but not really, because he went to school in Maryland, so he's kind of a Redskins fan as well.
Is he? I don't know. He told us he was a Giants fan. What do you mean, kind of? He
said
he was a Giants fan.
But he went to school with Daniel Snyder's son.
He said he told us he was a Giants fan.
If you go to high school, he was born in New Jersey. So you could be both, right?
No, don't start that conversation when we got 30 seconds left before we got to take a break.
You cannot
be a fan of the Giants and the Redskins. Come on, please, Teague, stop.
I'm just saying, man.
Stop. We asked him, were you a Giants fan growing up? Yes.
He said he liked Giants players.
He knew a lot of their history. He was raving about the Giants. He was raving about you, raving about some of their,
That's because I'm from Virginia.
Amani Toomer.
Yeah.
So
I'm from Virginia.
Giants fan. No?
I'm from Virginia, remember.
Let's get back to this Odell Beckham Jr. stuff. We'll hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.